Seems chilly here. Today is our anniversary and birthday day, so after the service, come next door, cookies, cake, ice cream. Enjoy, have some sweets. And last but not least, happy Thanksgiving in advance. Have we have a good turkey day, don't eat too much, and drive safely. Thank you.
Good morning. Didn't mean to wake you up that rudely. Please stand as we sing 694. Come
Dearest Heavenly Father, your love is boundless, and it surrounds us like a warm embrace. As we gather in this church service, we are reminded of your unwavering affection for each of us. Your love knows no bounds, and it is a source of comfort and strength. Lord, help us to grasp the depth of your love and carry it with us in all that we do. May this service be a reminder that we are cherished beyond measure, and that your love is the foundation upon which we stand. We thank you for this incredible gift of love and ask for your grace to overflow in our lives. And we pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Our next hymn is 102. Now thank we all our God.
Children of God, who do you follow? Children of God, what kind of ruler is Christ?
Christ reigns with love and truth, justice and mercy, compassion and peace.
Children of God, how will you live in the reign of Christ? Children of God, come, let us worship God, whose love reigns over us, exemplified in Jesus Christ.
Come, let us worship. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Well, today, giving is it Sunday before Thanksgiving. I think my first joy and concern is may all of us have a great, wonderful, happy Thanksgiving. May it be safe. May we travel safely. And Lord, I guess we pray and ask that you help and aid all of those who are less fortunate, those who may not have a big fancy Thanksgiving dinner, those who may have sorrows and challenges in their lives that will affect them from having a joyous Thanksgiving. And then there's the normal, regular ones, which is, you know, pray for the leaders of our nation and the nations of the world, any missing children, all the disasters we've got, hurricanes, earthquakes, tornadoes, anything in general. You know, we have wars going on, we have conflicts, we have problems. Let us say a prayer for all of them that things can be more peaceful and be resolved. Does anybody have any other concerns? Or joys? Joys are good too.
Traveling. You know. Traveling.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving.
That's it. I mean, be safe with the travel. I think the weather, at least around here, is going to be pretty decent, but yeah, be safe in your travels. Take time. Be careful. Get there and get back safely. Hide your truth in your hearts, dear God, for we are a people who are attracted to the error of our ways. We make bad choices, O Lord. We find ourselves in predicaments that make us sigh and groan. We have brought upon ourselves many of the disasters that have come our way. We were not honest and truthful in all situations. We even try to hide from ourselves when we realize that we are responsible for our own mistakes. Oh Lord, do not remove yourself from us. Forgive us, we pray, for the many sins, wrongdoings, shortcomings, and lies that have occurred. Fill us with your grace and blot out our transgressions. Give us genuine love for one another, we pray. We thank you for the assurance of your forgiveness through your Son, Jesus Christ. Hear us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. And now please join me in praying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Loving Creator, whose reign is everlasting, we offer these gifts with grateful hearts. May they serve to proclaim your truth and extend your kingdom of justice, peace, and love. Transform our offerings and our lives to bear witness in the hope and promise of Christ, our King. In his holy name, we pray. Amen.
next song is We Gather Together. As you probably know, Thanksgiving's coming up here quickly, so 131.
Today's scripture is John 18, verses 33 to 37. Pilate went back into the palace. He summoned Jesus and asked, "Are you king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this on your own, or do you have others, or have others spoken to you about me?" Pilate responded, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your nation and its chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus replied, "My kingdom doesn't originate from this world. If it did, my guards would fight so that I wouldn't have been arrested by the Jewish leaders. My kingdom isn't from here." "So you are a king," Pilate said. And Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. I was born and came into this world for a reason, to testify to the truth. Whoever accepts the truth listens to my voice." "What is the truth?" Pilate asked. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, as a preface to today's message, let's talk about today's celebration. Established in 1925, the reign of Christ, or Christ the King Sunday, may be just a year away from his 100th birthday, but it's still a newcomer in comparison to the other celebrations on the liturgical calendar. As Protestants, we often struggle to know what to do with this day, so we either ignore it or use the white and gold pyramids and call it good. It doesn't help that our energies are already deep into Advent preparations. And in the United States, we have to contend with the Thanksgiving lull in attendance. So, as I make a modest case for us to observe Reign of Christ Sunday, receive this as an opportunity not to add more to your load before Advent begins, but to end the liturgical year well before Advent sweeps us away again. A key question to ask when observing the reign of Christ is, what kind of reign? When we talk about Christ as a ruler, we have to distinguish between the ways in which human rulers act and in the way Christ as a ruler acts. Do we expect Christ to be like the human authorities or to be the super example the kind of ultimate authority that no human could ever be. Theologians typically say it's the latter. While the human construct of authority and reign helps us put some language to Christ's persons and actions, Christ's persons and actions go well beyond whatever we could imagine a human ruler being or doing, especially in terms of love, goodness, wisdom, truth, and the use of power. We see this comparison at work in today's scripture, particularly around the concept of truth. So, what truth does Jesus testify to in your midst? What truth does the congregation proclaim but not act on, like Pilate? What truth are you called to embody, no matter what the consequences, like Jesus? Which kind of ruler will you follow? Whose reign do you want to guide your individual and communal lives? These are questions to ask yourselves throughout worship today and in the coming days. When we celebrate the reign of Christ, we celebrate that being under Christ's authority means that these questions and so many more guide our life as the body of Christ. Celebrating the reign of Christ also means that we see with Christ and in one other and one another the ways in which falsehoods, misinformation, and disinformation infiltrate our community. If we listen to Christ testify to the truth, then we also listen for Christ's truth, and it doesn't always align with the messages we may receive in this world. We pray for truth and love to shape our responses to all that falls short of Christ's testimony among us. We tell the truth about misinformation and disinformation and the harm that these cause. And we embrace the Spirit's ongoing formative work among us, knowing that we will, at times, get it wrong. But Christ will always lead us back as we admit our mistakes and try again. So today, our message title is to testify to the truth. And Reign of Christ Sunday, or Christ the King Sunday, which fits better? Context is everything, we are told. Interpretation shapes our understanding. And words matter. Let's keep that in mind also. Can we talk about Christ the King without the history of patriarchy and dubious morality of the human kings getting in the way and muddying up the picture? Does Reign of Christ give us that sense of authority that we're looking for, calling for obedience in a way that is transforming and directing? Is the tradition too strong to make the switch easily or comfortably? There is so much to decide here at the end of the Christian year. Our calendar brings the Christian year to a conclusion this week. So we need a declaration. We need a commitment. A culmination of another year, another year's long journey with Christ, where we ponder his life and ours in equal measure. This week, we come to as much of a decision as we can make. We claim the authority of Christ over our lives and declare Christ as King, the one who reigns. Pilate struggled with this designation too. We can be sure of that. Our scripture for this week shows us that. The conversation, as with so many conversations in the Gospel of John, takes place on more levels than we might realize. Certainly more levels than Pilate realized. You've read this story. You've heard this story before. Perhaps it was much closer to Good Friday or Easter. You might have encountered this scripture in reference to the Passion narrative and thought that it speaks mainly about the trial before crucifixion. But there is a sense in which this narrative, this dialogue, is the most important episode in the whole story of Jesus' life. In these 5.5 verses, there is a kernel and a capsule of whole meaning and purpose of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, made manifest in the flesh here in this world. There is also a response to that human form that may be our unfortunate response to the God in our midst. Pilate returns to his palatial offices only to find that once again the Jewish leaders held this man Jesus bound and beaten and thrust before Pilate for condemnation. Now, the reason that they came back to Pilate with Jesus was because their religion and their laws, the Jewish laws and religions, would not allow them to do what they wanted to do. They wanted to condemn Jesus to death. They wanted him killed. Yet their laws and their religion wouldn't allow it. So they returned to Pilate because he could and would fulfill their wishes. Now, Pilate was reluctant, partly because he really didn't want to get involved in the internal squabbles of the people of Judea. After all, he was there to represent Rome and to keep the peace. Law and order, that's what Pilate stood for. Temple politics and mystical religions didn't interest Pilate in the least. As long as people kept quiet and paid their taxes, Pilate couldn't really have cared less what kind of God that the people worshiped. He was reluctant because he could see no harm in this man. Perhaps he was a bit deluded, maybe a bit overexcited about the God he spoke of, but he was really just a country kid with a Messiah complex. This is what Pilate thought. To condemn such as one to death by crucifixion did not sit well with Pilate at all. Yes, he was here to keep the peace, and the leaders of the people complained that he was stirring up the populace. And they didn't take the hint that Pilate gave the first time around and take this poor, bruised, wounded man away. So he was obliged to at least make some kind of interrogation, to at least ask some questions. He sat down behind his big oaken desk with the picture of his wife and the paperwork bust of Caesar himself and said to the man they held bowed and bloody before him, "So, you are the king of the Jews." The man with his hands tied behind his back and the bruised lips beginning to swell said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, I would have subjects who would have risen to fight to keep me from being captured and beaten and bound. If it were, I would have tried to rule and lead and to act like a king. But my kingship, my reign, comes not from this world." Pilate, hearing and not hearing, understanding kingship to be a thing only of this world, with laws and power and sword, wanted to believe that maybe for a second there is treason here, and he leans forward and points an accusing finger. "So, are you a king?" The quiet reply that takes the steam out of Pilate's outrage deflates the argument. "You say that I am a king. You say, they say, everyone says that I am a king. But I was born. I came into this world to bear witness to the truth." There is a brief pause, and Pilate leans back in his chair, and he addresses the ceiling as much as the man before him and asks, hoping and not hoping, what is truth? The question is asked. Behind the question lies at one end the bored complacency of this bureaucratic ruler, stuck 1,000 miles from his home in a backward little country, sitting as a judge over backward little squabbles between backward little peoples. This is what he thought. What could one of these people possibly know about truth? He knew that truth was malleable, hammered into specific situations to bring about specific outcomes. He knew that truth was a commodity, like patriotism and power, to be bought and sold for the benefit of the ruling class. You could hear the sneer at the very idea, even he asked the simple three-word question. Yet at the other end lies perhaps a spark of hope, and that maybe this man, broken and bruised as he is, bound and tied as he is, can give some kind of a response and tell, finally, what truth is. Or at least can say that there is no truth at all, and thus end the question forever. Maybe this man. The response to this offhand, sarcastic question, the response to this plea for light in a world of darkness is silence. Silence that cuts the easy confidence and forces one to struggle, however ineptly, to face oneself and to answer our own question. What is truth? How many times do we ask that question? Not in that form too often, but in many and various ways we ask it. What's it all about? Why am I here? Why can't I ever get ahead? What or who is God? And why is God so far away when I hurt the most? What must I do to be a follower of Christ in a world that tries so hard to go another way, its own way? This wonderful, almost magical, somehow mystical story of Jesus, who is the King, but not of this world. Tell me, is this story true? These are the questions, those and many more, that we bring to church as we wait for a place to ask and for someone to answer. And no one will give us an answer. At the same time, the silence in response to Pilate's question shows somehow that even to ask this question in the first place is to misunderstand the truth. The irony of this scene in Pilate's office is that the truth was staring him in the face, and he completely missed it, and he still asked, what is truth? By asking the question, he was turning away from the only truth that can mean anything in a world such as ours. The truth is embodied in one who lived and loved and gave of himself to create a sense of connection and belonging, restoration and transformation. The truth that is discovered in relationship, in obedience and freedom, in bowing down and rising up in heart and soul. Someone said, have you ever known someone who told you the truth so strongly that you wanted to kill them for it? This one who reigns, this king who is a king beyond this world, and yet whose kingdom touches this world, through and in us, those who follow, this is the one to whom we pledge our allegiance this last Sunday of the Christian year. Jesus the Christ, is not the king. He's not the king because he rules by law or decree, but because he bears witness, because he testifies to the truth of this world, the truth of our lives, the truth of the world that is to come. Our obedience is to join in testifying to the truth in love and in invitation. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please stand as we sing 469, Jesus is All the World to Me.
Beloved, may God bless you with the wisdom to see the truth as you follow Christ, who testifies to the truth by embodying love in all times and in all places. Let us all leave this place of love and go in peace. Amen.
Have a very happy Thanksgiving.